We are living in unprecedented days in America and in our world. If you'll listen to me today, I got the gun loaded, the clip's all full, and the hammer's back, and I'm ready to pull the trigger till the clip's empty today. So just hang on, it'll be all right. But we have allowed a microscopic virus and the threat of becoming sick become God in our world. The government and religion has tried to control the church since it started. Not our church, I'm talking 2,000 years. Christians and church members were given the name Christians in a city called Antioch, and it wasn't a good name. It was a name of criticism. Oh, you're like that Jesus one, that Christ, you're a Christ-like one. And they used it as a critical statement, a name of condemnation, and yet I wear it proudly. I don't know about you. We should not be surprised at the blatant attack on churches today. Liquor stores, and abortion clinics, and Walmart are okay to stay open, but governors and the media want churches to be closed. People in Mississippi burned a church building to the ground for having a live service, while they sat in their cars in the parking lot to buy their marijuana. Everybody doing okay? We can justify the murder of babies as essential, but going to church is a public health risk. Police were issuing tickets of $500 each to sit in their cars to listen to a church service on radio, but you could go to the liquor store and go in and buy whatever you wanted in the same city. Everybody doing okay? Let me divert to something just in the last 48 hours. The mayor of Minneapolis, Minnesota, is bragging about passing out masks to those that were burning buildings and looting buildings and robbing people and shooting people. And yet he said to open churches would be a public health risk. We live in unprecedented days. The idiocy of error has corrupted the minds of the world. Now, you've had most churches shut down on their own, saying the government and society needs us to do this. I realize in the state of West Virginia, it's easy for me to preach this, just so you know. It'd be a little tougher in some other places where the People's Republic of Maryland or other places where things are a little tighter and a little tougher government-wise and people aren't any wiser to it. But they have shut themselves down and now they're crying we should be essential. The only crime thing is that they shouldn't probably open back up since they shut down voluntarily in most cases. They declared themselves non-essential and are scared and freaked out just like the rest of the world. Why should we get upset at the government? May I say this? Not any government in the world can keep you from getting sick. There is not a government in the world that can keep you from getting sick. Everybody doing okay? Now we have churches waiting on permission for the government to open back up. Are we trying to please God or man? Here in Acts chapter 4, you're just weeks after Calvary. Pentecost has sparked the uprise of the movement of churches being sprouted up all over. It was just 50 days from Calvary to Pentecost, and just 40 days that Jesus was on the earth. You're talking only a couple weeks after Jesus had gone back to heaven. We shall see him, by the way. Just a couple weeks after that very thing here in Acts chapter 4. But you have to understand something about how tumultuous this is. Do you realize that the disciples hid because they were afraid to be killed among themselves at Calvary. They were gunning for the Christians. You're just a couple weeks away from Jesus being killed for what he stood for. Is it no wonder then that as Peter and John preached and people were getting saved and you had 3,000 saved and baptized at Pentecost, we find here earlier in Acts chapter 4, 5,000 men were saved in one meeting, that the temple crowd, the religious world, is starting to get a little concerned because Christianity is really starting to spark up. The crowd at the temple isn't going so well. They're going to hear the fiery Baptist preachers. They're not coming back to the temple and giving their money. They're giving it to the starting of these churches, and money is dictating it, and the organized religion isn't happy, and neither is the government. You see, they viewed the church and Christianity as a challenge to their own power and authority. We read it in verse number 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Well, I love what Peter said. "In the name of Jesus Christ, whom thou crucified."
Yes, sir.
Amen. Everybody doing okay? If you're mad now, you're going to kill somebody in a minute. It sounds much like today. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are preaching and people are getting saved. Lives are being changed. And the religious and political leaders work together to try to stop the church. Let's shut it down. The politicians lose the battle because they had no legal right to shut the church. We have a First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. The right to freedom of assembly. Peaceful assembly. So it was a declaration of a state of emergency. And if you read the first article of the Constitution, in the First Amendment, it says even in a state of the emergency that the government, state or federal, cannot stop the church from meeting.
Amen.
It even says in great sickness. Everybody doing okay? I didn't write it. It was written back in 1789. Peter and John are standing before the politicians and the religious crowd, and they said, "Why are you doing this?" And they threaten them. The word threaten is used. Say, what was their answer? They started preaching salvation in Jesus to the politicians and to the religious crowd. They started preaching Calvary and the resurrection of Jesus as the answer to why they were doing what they were doing. We read in verse 21 that they had no legal right to punish them, but they further threatened them. Verse 21 says, "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them." Sound familiar? Now, listen to me very carefully here. They used political and public intimidation to try to shut them down. Just because there are threats from the politicians, powerful people, and the media doesn't mean we're supposed to stop doing God's work. Everybody doing okay? Now listen very carefully here. We don't need the lost people's permission and the government's permission and the doctor's permission for the church to be open. I didn't have to petition the government to have a church. I didn't need to call my local physician to see if I could pastor the church. Why do I need their permission now to stay open? I didn't call the United States federal government and say, "May I have a church?" If I didn't need their permission to open the church to begin with, why do I need their permission now? The gospel and the truths of the Bible still need to get out, and probably more now than ever. How many people have died and gone to hell as Christians have hid their head in the sand? How many people have not gotten the gospel to them because we're afraid? Oh, we've got to stay shut down for everybody's health and safety. Now, hang on, I'll get to that in a moment. How many new Christians have not grown in the Lord and fallen back to the old worldly ways because churches shut their doors? How much power did we give the government to go online for church because the government said we should? What are we going to do next time? They now have the power to tell us to go online anytime they want, if we're not careful. By the way, I blame the pulpit, not the State House. I blame preachers who don't have a big enough backbone to stand up. It looks more like a wet noodle. They haven't been proclaiming the truth. I worry about it. Now, I realize it's easy in our state to do this. We've had a little bit more freedom than most. But I hope to God I believe this all the way through. I don't think I've changed anything in 31 or almost 40 years preaching, 31 years full time in the ministry. Listen to this statement. Every disease and every sickness and every virus has been passed from person to person for 7,000 years. People have more fear of a virus that they cannot see than they do a Bible and a God they can see. People have more faith in the media, the CDC, the WHO, and politicians than they do the man of God and the word of God. America's God has become the media and the CDC. That's why on the voicemail at the church this morning, as we went out soul winning yesterday, I won't tell you what town, Shepherdstown. A lady called the church irate and left a voicemail. I can't believe you. You have people going out door to door, passing things out, talking to people. You're not practicing social distancing, and they didn't even have a mask on. She said, you have a right as a religious leader not to spread this disease. And this is what she said. She said, you are killing people because of your irresponsibility. Brother Greg, I'm not real smart, but I was taking to them eternal life, not eternal death. I was trying to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave so they didn't have to die and go to hell. Hey, I wasn't worried just about a stupid virus. How about eternity? Amen. We're not making it out alive anyway. We might as well decide we're going to heaven instead of dying and burning in hell forever. Amen. Hey, if that makes me somebody who does not care, they don't know what caring's all about.
That's right. Amen.
Preacher, you just told everybody that? Yep. I didn't force it on them. They didn't want to talk. We didn't talk. We had people say, just leave it in the door. We'll get it in a couple days. Okay. I had others gladly reach out and take it. Listen. By the way, that hasn't changed, and I've been soul winning for almost 40 years. I don't force anybody to listen. God doesn't force anybody to listen. But if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll burn in hell for eternity.
That's right.
And whether there's a virus going on or not, people need to hear the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
What happened to men of God with courage like Peter and John? They got to hang their rainbow flags and curtail to the Sodomites. They got to wiggle when they walk and say peace, peace when there is no peace.
Right.
Well, I decided a long time ago that I would model my ministry after what Jesus said we should do. He said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Well, it might be out of tune, but it's lifted up. Amen. What happened to people in the church with courage to stand with Peter and John? It's one thing for Peter and John to stand, but the Bible says they could not punish them because of the fear of the people. The people were standing with Peter and John saying, we're going with them. We don't care what you do to us. Yeah, you like my courage, but I have that ability to stay courageous because we have a church that has stood strong through all this. What happened to Christians who would be willing to obey the truth of the Word of God no matter what came? Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 5, verse number 29, Peter is still preaching and he says this very statement. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. Now, look around. We're not the only ones facing hard times. We're not the only generation of Christianity that ever had a hard time. They had it all the way back at the beginning of the church in the book of Acts. And prior to that, Matthew chapter 16. I guess we're going to have a hard time till Jesus comes. Say why? Because the devil doesn't like what we stand for. I've said from day one of this, this is a trial run for the Antichrist. The devil's trying to find out how much salt is left in this old world, and she's lost her savor. He's found out how easy he can deceive the world to believe a lie. Let me ask you a question. Is Grace Baptist Church here to please God or to please our community? I believe we'll please our community if we please God. Is Grace Baptist Church here as a toy or as a show for the public officials? Or are we here to do the work of God? Is the church here as an extension of the government helps and welfare program? Or are we here to keep people out of hell and lift up the fallen? Everybody doing okay? I'm for feeding hungry people, but if you feed hungry people and don't give them the gospel, what good was it? I'm for helping people get good medical attention, but if you never give them the gospel, what good was it? Amen. The church was not instituted to be an extension of public government programs. That's right. Everybody doing all right? We're not an extension of welfare, which is neither well nor fair. That's right. Amen. The church has made it for over 2,000 years. I believe God's plan is far better than the CDC. Amen. God's plan is far greater than the WHO. Amen. God's plan is greater than Dr. Fauci. Amen. God's plan is far better than anything the media has to say. And may I say this, God and the Bible have the words of life, not CNN. Not ABC, not NBC, not CBS, and not Fox. The words of life are not going to be found in the news. They'll be found in the Word of God. It is time for Christians and Americans to stand up to this socialistic, communistic, dictatorial takeover of America. I am not an anarchist. I disagree with every person protesting in the streets who are burning buildings down, looting and ravaging and making police officers and police precincts targets. That's wicked as the stinking devil. Say, well, what about what happened to that man in Minneapolis? Number one, the only thing you know of it is what the news media showed you. Before you make a decision, how about we let it go through the system like it's supposed to and get all the facts? Amen. Had a man ask me yesterday about it, and I said, I don't have an opinion on it. The only opinion I have is these people that are rioting and looting and destroying property ought to be thrown in jail for a long time. I think they ought to be rounded up, brought to Minneapolis and every one of these cities that they've been destroying, make them clean up the mess. Then we ought to send them out to Sheriff What's-His-Name out there in Arizona for about 2 summers in the Arizona heat and work for a while. Then bring them back to Minnesota in the winter and let them shovel snow.
Amen.
About 2 seasons of that each, that ought to cure their desire.
That's
right. Did you ever notice they're not stealing work boots? Folks, I went through the Rodney King riots. I've been through this mess. I'm not telling you the officer was right. I'm not telling you he was wrong. I'm telling you none of us have the facts to know what happened. Before you form an opinion, by the way, I'll side with the police officer right now till he's proven guilty. And I mean proven guilty, not just a puppet so that they can pacify all the people out there that want to protest. If the news media says he's guilty, I'm inclined to say he's probably innocent. Say why? Because whatever they say, believe the opposite, and you're going to land pretty close to right.
Amen.
I'll always side with authority till authority has been proven wrong. Everybody doing okay? Now hang on for a second here. We have a command and a commission by God in the Bible. We don't need the permission from the government or doctors or societies to fulfill it. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We don't need permission to do so. We have it from God.
Amen.
Well, what about higher powers, preacher? You don't get any higher than God.
Amen.
I think that you ought to obey every law man has that is right and not contrary to the word of God. Keeping the speed limit is in line with the word of God. I think you ought to do it, or I think you ought to get a ticket. Okay, we just went from preaching to meddling, I know. Yeah, buddy. But when they say you have to shut your church down because it's for public health, I disagree. Man's laws are not to contradict God's laws. Sorry, I'll fight that one. I disagree with the seatbelt law. I don't think it's the government's job to tell me I have to wear one, though I think it's the wise thing to do. But I still do it because it's the law. Everybody doing okay? I may not like it, but the laws are there to protect you from hurting somebody else. I agree with you. Whether I wear a seatbelt or not doesn't hurt anybody else's freedom.
Amen.
You know, your freedom to swing your arm ends at the end of my nose. I'm for that. But when, it's true, you connect, that's when you violated the law. That's just a fact. May I say something here? The apostles did not ask for permission, they obeyed God. Not only did the leadership step up, but the people and the church members stepped up and said, we'll stand with God. We'll stand with the Bible. Folks, may I say something? It's okay. The water's fine out here too.
Amen.
I've been doing this a long time. I happen to read the last chapter in the book, we win.
Amen.
Happen to know where this ship's headed, and I happen to know what the destination is and how we're going to get there, and it's all right. We win. By the way, God used this persecution against the church and preachers with enough backbone to preach the truth to turn the world upside down. It's obvious we still have the church after 2,000 years. It has survived and it will survive. But it doesn't mean that it's going to survive without opposition. Let me give you 4 thoughts and I'll be done. Number one, the government, religion, and media want God's authority. government, religion, and the media want God's authority. We read in verse number 7 that standing there in the middle of the religious people, look at verse 6, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? That's the religious crowd that crucified Jesus. It was the religious big shots who were asking the questions, what makes you so special? What name do you do this in? What gave you the authority to do this? We didn't. Ooh. Everybody doing okay? It amazes me how that religious people and the lost world want more power than God. Folks, I'm not God. And the world ought to be happy. I don't claim to be God. I don't speak in the place of God. I am his voice to preach the truth that he has written for us. I am saddened and sickened at Christians who believe lost men more than God. We will let lost people tell us what we should do as Christians and not listen to God. That saddens me. Folks, there's a lot of... The word religion is not used in a positive way in the Bible. I'm not here to criticize. I'll give you facts. The Catholic Church didn't start till 313. You're talking AD about 30, 35 right here. 300 years almost before Catholic Church. Do you know where the Catholic Church started? Started with a ruler named Constantine. Constantine started it 313 because he only had political power over the people, and he realized religion had more power at times than the political world, and he tried to put the church and the politics together in one lump. That's why the Pope, listen to this, that's why the Vatican is its own city state. The Pope is a religious leader, but he's also a political leader. He has all of the political power of any president, king, or any other political leader in the world, as well as the religious power, and it brings world politics and world religion under one roof. The word Catholic means one world, universal. I'm not a political leader. There's a reason. I have too many people in a certain town near here that don't like me. I'm not here casting votes. Not here trying to get votes. I'm here proclaiming the truth. You see, God is the only creator of life. You say, well, the professionals and the experts are saying, yeah, those are the people that tell you coffee's bad one week and coffee's good the next. Those are the people that tell you chocolate's bad for you one week and chocolate good's for you the next week. Every woman knows chocolate's good any week. Everybody doing all right? I'm going to preach the truth whether you like it or not. They want the power that belongs to God. I don't want the power that belongs to God. Let's give him the power. Then how about we do what his book says? By the way, that's why man wants to rewrite the Bible. He wants to be his own God. That's what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Wouldn't you like to be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself? Wouldn't you like to decide right and wrong, good and evil for yourself? It is not a matter of religion. There's been more people killed in the name of religion than any other thing. Everybody doing all right? So, government, religion, and the media want God's authority. The media wants you to believe whatever they say is true. Number two. The world questions the motives and the means by which God's people do God's work. Take a look at verse number 9. Yeah, if we would just take the Bible and just read it. If we this day, watch this, be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? They were all upset that this man who could not walk, when Peter and John walked by, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, arise up and walk." And the guy, after 40 years of being crippled, got up and walked away. They were all upset. "Well, what expert did you take him to?" "Jesus." "Well, we can't explain this medically." You don't have to explain it medically. Jesus took care of it. The great physician. Everybody doing all right? You see, people judge you by how they think or by how they would do something if they were in your place. You know the attack of your enemy by how they tell you that you're reacting. President Trump is using Hitler-like tactics. Who's the one trying to use Hitler-like tactics now? Giving masks to thieves and those rioting in the streets is okay. But to have church is a risk to public health and safety. How would you like to go to church in downtown Minneapolis right now? But that's okay as long as you wear a mask. But if we open the church, that would be a risk to people's health. Where is the sense and logic in that? Everybody doing all right? If we love people as we should, then they're going to tell you that your motives are perverted. They're going to judge you based on how they would act and how they think. I was telling somebody this yesterday or the day before yesterday. When I was in Indiana, the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times, they listed me, since I was on staff with Brother Hiles, they listed us as pedophiles. Because we brought all these kids in from Chicago, brought them to church and made them strip down out of their clothes and get in front of everybody naked because they got baptized. Now folks, nobody ever saw one of those children ever without their clothing on. They had a private changing booth for them to change into and out of. Nobody ever watched any of them. Say, why did they say things like that? Because that's how they would be if they had a bunch of people around. They're the perverted ones, not us. We had signed permission slips from every one of those children's parents to do what they did, to get baptized. And yet, we were the bad ones. We had a man in our church who was a bus captain, did what Mrs. Lopez does. Had a 7 or an 8-year-old girl that came to church, and he sat her on his knee for about 10 minutes on the bus ride and spent over 7 years in jail for supposedly sexually abusing her as he sat on her knee, or as she sat on his knee, with his wife sitting in the seat next to him. 7 years in prison for that. Say, who's the perverted ones? Go figure. Everybody doing all right? If we love people as we should, then we're going to be criticized. You're going to hear words like this: "It's a cult." First of all, they don't know what the definition of cult is. Government telling churches they can go online instead of meeting is government playing God. My Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together."
Yes, sir.
As the manner of some is, Hebrews 10:25. The word church itself means called out assembly. It's not online.
Right.
Hate to disappoint you. It is time for us to get everyone to join up and get the numbers strong enough to where people will listen to the truth. Problem today is not the loudness of the bad, it's the quietness of the good. Problem today is not how loud the wrong crowd is, it's how quiet the righteous crowd is. Verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. Sound familiar? By the way, if they can tell you not to have church and that you got to go online, they're going to tell you what you can and can't say too. Well, they're going to have to cut my tongue out before I shut up. I happen to have been raised by a man. I happen to have a word of God and the power of God that says what I'm supposed to do. And by the way, I'll go to jail for it if I have to. I'm not looking forward to it. But I will. Then I'll preach so loud in the jail, they're going to let me out. I got enough verses memorized up there, they don't even have to give me my Bible. We'll have jailhouse revival. Say, preacher, you wouldn't do that? Watch me. Now, I'm hoping not to have to, just so you know. I'm hoping Brother Juan's there at least to give me some backup, amen? So all I got to hear is Brother Juan say, got your back, preacher. Man. Can I tell you something? I can't tell you in the last 11 weeks that I haven't been afraid of it myself. But just because I was afraid of it didn't mean I didn't show up and do what I was supposed to do. We've got our church security set. We're doing okay. We had a little incident Wednesday night. The police showed up. Fortunately, our security was able to intercept, and the guy that was from Connecticut that had murdered people had been spotted in this area, and the police saw that we were having church and wanted to make sure everything was okay here. And he told our guys, well, looks like you got everything under control. Your security works. You got me in the parking lot. And it did. Nothing to be afraid of. Oh, he was through here? Yeah, he's through here. Look, anybody dumb enough to walk in here with ill intent is not real smart. Number three, and I've got to finish. Peter and John's answer was to obey God over man. Look at verse number 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I am not a rebel. I am not anti-government. I believe we need government. I thank God for America. I thank God for the freest country in the world, but I'm still fighting for our freedom. But may I say this, I believe in obeying God more than any law man has. If it comes between obeying God and obeying man, my decision was made a long time ago. I obey God. Now, look at verse number 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I'll make a statement here that if I'm offensive, so be it. Most Christians, most churches shut down because they've never seen God do anything. Can I tell you what kept Grace Baptist Church strong through all this? We've seen God do things. We have watched God see people saved. We've watched God bring new people to our church. We've seen God do things, and we have stayed strong, and we speak of the things that we see and hear. By the way, I don't criticize people who are not that bold and that strong. I am not critical of churches who aren't open right now. I'm just saying we have to obey God more than man. I have some pastor friends who have been shut down. I'm not critical of them. I refuse to be critical of them. By the way, a little easier here in West Virginia than other states. For you say, well, so-and-so ought to do it. Yeah, you be the one leading the charge. Grace Baptist Church is a place where God's doing something, and we shouldn't let anybody shut it down. I've walked guard on this place. I've begged God to do something. It broke my heart that for 6 weeks we didn't run our bus down to Winchester to help those people. Destroyed me. Say, why didn't you? I didn't feel it was safe for our people or the kids and the families in Virginia because of the governor of Virginia. I didn't feel it wise. But it broke my heart every time. You ask Mrs. Lopez, I made her keep visiting those kids every week. She took something to them every week. A couple times she took things from me personally. Say why? Because I didn't want them to ever feel we didn't love them. Oh, by the way, last week one of the mamas came, sat right back here and got saved. Amen. But we can only speak of the things which we have seen and heard. Most churches, the only thing they see and hear is doing the extension of the government and not God's work. Let's keep the food pantry open. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I had people criticize me, call me and say, the only reason the governor of West Virginia kept your churches open is so you would feed the hungry. I tempered my words. If you were here Wednesday night, you understand that. My simple answer was this. Show me one place in the Bible where it's the church's job to feed the hungry. It's the Christian's job, not the church's.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Grace Baptist Church is a place where God's doing something, and we should not let anybody shut it down. Matter of fact, we ought to be doing more, not less.
Amen.
Quarantine is the total focus on selfishness and self-preservation. Oh, we shouldn't pass it along to somebody else. How do you think things happen in the world? Skin for skin, yea, a man will give all that he hath for his own life, the Bible says. God does not tell us to obey him as long as the government and the doctors say we can. God says obey. God doesn't say have church as long as nobody's going to get sick. They faced jail. They were threatened. And they faced public persecution by the God haters. They probably even got nasty voicemails. God did not ever promise a smooth road for the church. As a matter of fact, it didn't start out as a smooth road, and they killed the leader of it, and his name was Jesus. The devil and sin will always oppose good, but look at verse number 21. Love this. I'm about to shout. So when they had further threatened them, oh, there's going to be more threatening. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. Can I tell you how to get back to reality? Let's rise up and obey God and give God the credit and God the glory for everything that's happening. Go out and reach a lost and dying world, snatch them from hell, and get them on their way to heaven. That'll just turn their tail in knots. Or as Brother Fugit would say from time to time, that'll twist the devil's whiskers. They were threatened more, but they were released because there was no law broken. There is no law broken by having church.
Amen.
None. Well, governor so-and-so, governors can't make law.
Amen. That's hard. Good.
Grace Baptist Church and Child of God, let's get busy for God while we can. The night's coming when no man can work. The night's coming when no man can work. As Chris sang a little while ago, we're about to see Jesus. He's coming back. I hope that we be found faithful when he does. I don't want to be huddled with my head in the sand. I want to be standing behind the pulpit preaching the truth when he comes. I want to be out knocking on doors. Social distancing. Folks, say, are you taking reservations for church? Yes. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you come. Well, will you have room? Yes. Shoot, this isn't the local hotel, it's church. Amen. This isn't some fancy restaurant, this is the house of God. You don't need reservations. Amen. My kids know, even though they're grown, they don't need reservations to come home, just show up. Now, if you unlock the door at odd hours, you might tell me who you are before you get all the way in. Because you might have the same wrath pointing at you that others would. If I don't know you're coming, you better make sure I know who he is. But it's all right. It's fine. It's home. Just come on in. Can I tell you something? Acts 20:20 is still in the Bible. They kept nothing back. Nothing. But we might get sick. Yeah, you might get sick without the virus. You got sick before the virus. You'll get sick after the virus. Say why? Because sickness is a result of sin. Come back tonight to teach you about that. Guess what? We're supposed to get the gospel out to every creature, whether there's a virus going on or not. We're supposed to tell everybody the truth, whether there's a virus or not. We're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Do you know why everybody's all weirded out right now? Because they haven't been anywhere. They believe whatever the news media is pumping into them. That's enough to depress anybody. People need the truth more than ever. Grace Baptist Church, how about we just join ranks, go out and reach as many people as we can. Let's get a stronger voice so that our voice may be heard farther out. Listen to this statement and I'm done. We must keep going in hard days as well as in easy days. Let's keep doing what we have been doing. Let's just put the pedal to the metal and do more of it. If the world ever needed the truth, it's now. It's now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Has there ever been a time where you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal? I'm not talking about the church. I'm not talking about the Baptist church, Catholic church, Methodist church, Presbyterian church, or any other church. I'm not talking about your good deeds. Have you trusted Jesus Christ and him alone to take you there? Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. We could care for that today. Maybe you've been saved and baptized and you'd like to join an old-fashioned, independent, truth-telling, King James Bible-only Baptist church. We're here. Love to have you. Maybe you just need to get enough courage to step back up and say, time for me to enlist, preacher, or re-enlist. Who'd raise their hand today and say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. How about we start by kneeling at an old-fashioned altar? Many of us have enough Christianity to raise a hand, but how about move the foot to the altar? If you've been saved and never been saved, you come, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know. You've been saved and need to be baptized, you come, we'll take care of that. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, you come, you'll be in today. It's no problem. We'd love to have you join up.